Move 20! Move 20!
It's Intentional Grounding, Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
Welcome into episode 23 of Intentional Grounding and our first episode of, I guess, what we're calling our second season of the podcast already. Adam Hogue. Wow. Isn't that weird, aren't
Yeah.
It? Adam Hogue and Adam Johns here with you. We are in Mobile, Alabama. We're taking the podcast on the road. We've been down here for the Senior Bowl this week. Practices, basically.
The rain. Brutal rain, yeah.
This is the third.
Frigid cold, actually.
This is my third year down here. Your third
fourth,
year?
Fourth
year
yeah.
for you. By far, today was the worst weather I've seen.
I was shivering.
It was cold.
And you know what? I think it affected the practices. I mean, there was a series of plays in the North team where they just looked god-awful. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we will. We got plenty to discuss about the practices, some of the top NFL seniors or college seniors that are down here for the NFL draft. And basically the entire NFL universe is down here. You got owners, some owners, the owners that are more involved in personnel decisions, all the GMs, most of the head coaches, position coaches, coordinators, and basically they're all here to see these seniors get at it, and also, you know, a lot of networking goes down here.
Yeah, it's like a coaching job fair for some of these. I mean, the coaching carousel spins and spins and spins, and we saw some changes, plenty of changes, you know, the past 4 years with the Bears, and a lot of guys still looking for jobs or newly on the market.
Absolutely, and you can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. That's the best place to submit questions for the podcast. As always, we're on WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and you can find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. And our producer, like he was in Season 1, still Mike Jacobson. He's still with us strong, and we love him very much. So the first thing I noticed being down here right away with the Bears contingent was how massive the entourage was. Now, part of that is, I think, because they seem to be one of the few teams that has kind of staked out an entire section in the bleachers, and they basically have everyone sitting there. I mean, I think a lot of the other teams have big entourages down here. They're just kind of scattered all over the stadium. But you got Ryan Pace, John Fox, the coordinators, including new offensive coordinator Dow Loggins, all sitting up there in the stands. All the position coaches are here. And it's a big difference from last year when the Bears were going through this transition. And Ryan Pace spent most of the week in Chicago trying to finalize the coaching staff. The Bears hired Adam Gase that week. They hired Vic Fangio that week. And I don't even think John Fox came down here at all.
No, he wasn't here. I mean, Ryan Pace was only down here for less than 24 hours. Yeah. He came down here, took his scouts out to dinner, said how he wanted certain things to run down here. But this is their first full year together. I mean, yes, the entire coaching staff is here. Yes, the entire scouting staff is here as well. And you don't really recognize everybody because there's so many new faces that Ryan Pace has added to his scouting department, and they're all over the place. You mentioned the big contingent that was sitting opposite the press box, you know, up in the stands there. But they were scattered throughout. I mean, Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell hanging out by the press box side. Dave Magazoo looking at the offensive lineman drills in the end zone there. They were everywhere. They are all involved in these evaluations, and it's a much different process than last season when none of them really were here.
Right, and just sitting in the stands last year, it was almost the exact same section of Ladd Peebles Stadium. It was basically Josh Lucas, who had just been hired. I think he was hired that week, like during Senior Bowl practices, and probably just getting to know Marty Barrett, the former director of college scouting, who's no longer with the Bears. He probably kind of knew that once the draft happened, he was going to be let go as Ryan Pace brought in his own guy, Joe Douglas, over from Baltimore to take that job. It was almost awkward. It was a very small contingent up there, and I don't know, you know, how much. Certainly couldn't have been as productive as it is this week where, yeah, so they're watching practice, but we also talk about the interviews that get done down here. And all these prospects are meeting with teams. They do formal interviews in the evenings at the hotel. And so to have Ryan Pace and John Fox directly involved in those, it's a big difference from last year.
I mean, they're just set up to be different. I don't want to say successful because there'll be hits and misses in this draft like there always are. But
and they also actually had a decent draft last year.
Yeah.
I mean, as we look back at it right now, at least.
Right. I mean, they brought their own evaluations, you know, from New Orleans, you know, before in their own grading system, you know. So this is year two of the Ryan Pace way of grading. So you would think things would be better in line to be, you know, at least more successful in their mind. But yeah, if you're going to look at it overall, the grander picture here, it's just considerably different. And it will be more so, again, in the combine than it was a year ago when Ryan Pace and John Fox were really just getting their feet wet together.
I should mention that joining us on the podcast in this episode is Northwestern Superback. That's what they call him at Northwestern, Dan Vitale. Here this week, he is a true fullback, and we'll get into that discussion with him. So stay tuned because we talked to him and had a great conversation with Dan. But first, as we talk about this Bears coaching staff right now, we haven't done a podcast since things turned over quite significantly, I think, within the Bears coaching staff. You had Adam Gase take the Miami job. We kind of knew he was probably leaving, just didn't know where exactly. So he goes to the Dolphins. Let's start there. Were you surprised at how much power he got?
No, because, well, like with the 53-man roster stuff, I think a lot of coaches, you know, are getting that nowadays. I don't think there's any surprise, really, in the whole situation at all that he left. I think the Bears knew even going into last season, the 2015 season, that if Jay Cutler was successful and that offense was productive in any form, that Adam Gase was leaving. They knew he was a head coaching candidate the year before. They knew he was a hot name around the league. He kind of fell on their laps after things didn't work out with the Ravens. I'm talking about Gase. So they knew this situation was coming. I think they opted for continuity with Dow Loggins. I think it was the right move because Jay Cutler was, let's face it, he had his most efficient season ever. Why change that if you're going to lean on him again in 2016? They like the way the offense is moving, especially with all the injuries at receiver. But I think just in general, no, I mean, it's a great place for Gase. He's got a good young quarterback in Ryan Tannehill to work with. It may have been the best situation of all the available teams to go to. But no, I don't think the Bears. I wasn't surprised that he left after 1 year.
Yeah, no, I wasn't either. If anything, I was just kind of surprised at how much power he got down there. I just didn't really expect for him to get control of the 53-man roster, and he's calling plays. Yeah. I mean, he's really got himself – that's his situation. I mean, it's going to be him in charge, and we'll see how it goes. As far as what the Bears did, I mean, promoting Dow Loggins, I agree, was the right choice. You know, this is going to be Jay Cutler's sixth offensive coordinator in Chicago, which is crazy to think about. But at least he's not really going into an entirely different system. And the only thing we can really even compare this to – was when Mike Tice got promoted to offensive coordinator after they let go of Mike Martz. But even in that situation,
things changed.
They changed more than what I think is going to happen next year. I think with Dow Loggins taking over, it's basically going to be the same playbook. Probably he'll throw in some tweaks to it.
Yeah.
And ultimately it comes down to how he's going to call the plays. But when Tice took over for Mike Martz, I mean, that really went from more of a wide-open West Coast system to getting the tight ends more involved again, more of a traditional, you know, run the football, pound at you type of offense. Whereas I think this next year, it's going to be very similar to what the Bears did this season. Just you'll see some tweaks, obviously, because it's a different man calling the play.
I think it even stretches beyond some of the subtle X's and O's differences, and actually some considerable X's and O's differences going from Martz to Tice. I mean, the personality differences. I mean, let's face it. Cutler and Martz clashed, but this Cutler-Tice relationship didn't work out whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, Cutler's, say what you want about him critically, but from a football intelligence perspective. Yes, he makes some bad decisions on the field, but when it comes to coming up with game plans and diagramming plays and going through all the schematics of things, he is, like Trestman said, he called him brilliant. Gase said similar things. Obviously, he won over Pace, and he won over John Fox. But other coaches, even before then, have respected Cutler's intelligence when it comes to, you know, football schematics. And I don't think Tice and him were just on the same page, whether that and personality-wise. Loggins is different. He may not be Gase-like, but he's closer to Gase than Tice was to Mark. So let's face it. I mean, it's...
And he worked directly with Cutler this entire season.
Right, it's not like
he was his position coach.
Tice was an offensive line guy.
He was in that meeting room every single day, which is a huge difference than the offensive line coach who's not in the quarterback meeting room.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Cutler at the end of the season, and he expressed so much confidence in Loggins if he got the nod. I think he sort of knew, it was coming. He just needed the official confirmation. It's what he wanted. He, you know, I think the Bears had a feeling that this was going to be the succession plan. They just needed, you know, to go through the due diligence of things, maybe see who else is out there, call around, and, you know, maybe embolden their cause. But we all know Jay Cutler is very comfortable with Dow Loggins.
Were you surprised that Mike Groh wasn't promoted to the quarterback coach spot, which is a promotion, and not only that, he ends up leaving the organization altogether. He's going to be going to L.A. with the Rams, where he was named the wide receivers position coach, which was the same thing he had with the Bears, except he was also named the passing game coordinator, which gives him more responsibility and gets him closer to a coordinator
job. So I guess that's kind of like a...
It's a promotion.
In a way. Yeah. I mean, he's got an extra longer title. I think Loggins wanted his own guy. I mean, obviously... Dave, was it Rangone? I can't pronounce it right yet. Still, we're getting used to
Rangone. It sounds like an Italian dish or something.
Right.
I want to pour the sauce on my pasta.
You go with Rangone, right?
Hey, we're recording this late today. I'm hungry. We're about to get some great Mobile seafood once we get done with this. Absolutely. So I'm thinking about food here.
But he worked with Loggins in Tennessee. I mean, I get it. Maybe if there was some turmoil is probably the wrong word to use, but if Groh was a bit unhappy with the situation, but you know,
you mean not getting the QB job,
maybe, or maybe not even getting the coordinator job, you know?
Yeah, I threw his name out there multiple times as somebody who, you know, I think the Bears liked him a lot, and Loggins was probably always going to get it over him, but Groh is going to be a coordinator someday.
Yeah.
He was very impressive throughout his time with the Bears, including during the very tumultuous Mark Trestman era.
Yeah.
And impressive enough that they kept him on the staff.
Yeah. Yeah, he won a few holdovers. I mean, the other one would be Clint Hurt, you know, and Sean Desai, two defensive coaches. But Hurt, I mean, Gase wanted to steal him. The Bears denied that.
Oh.
It's kind of interesting to see Groh leave because, you know, Hurt was blocked. They wanted to keep him here, but you know, there's a lot of scenarios that probably played out there.
Groh's contract might have been up.
Could have been,
because a lot of times those guys are on 3-year deals, and because he was brought in at the beginning of the Mark Trestman era, this would have been the end of his third season if that was indeed his contract. I know Clint Hurt, at least SI reported, that he's got 1 year left on his contract. But remember, he came in 1 year into the Mark Trestman era.
Yeah.
He wasn't there the first season. So I haven't been able to confirm that, but I have wondered if his contract was up.
I mean, when the Bears...
And then they couldn't block him from leaving.
Right. I mean, when the Bears hired Fox, he got a 4-year deal, and Gase got a 3-year deal. So
a lot of times those assistants are on 3-year deals. But it changes, and I'm not completely sure about that. But I did wonder. So anyway... the Bears still need a wide receivers coach, correct? Wonder if that might get done by the end of the week. A lot of those moves.
Like we said, it's coaching convention down here.
Right. There's plenty of conversations that happened and weird things. I saw the Eagles today stole a coach from Mizzou who had just accepted that job.
That means they have to give him money.
Like a month ago.
Don't they have to pay the school then?
I don't know, but he just got hired by Mizzou a month ago.
Yeah.
And now the Eagles hired him today. And obviously Missouri didn't see it coming because I read on Yahoo that Missouri just this morning had posted a story online, like an in-depth feature story on the guy.
Yeah.
And 2 hours later, he left for a new job. It's awkward.
You know, like when you're a writer and you write something, and you hope nothing like you know happens to the guy. You're working on a long feature, and let's say it's running Sunday, and there's like you know, back when I did hockey, just don't get hurt or traded. You know, because I've been working on this for a long time. I can feel for you, Mizzou.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, so planning to get to specifically with the NFL draft and some of these players that are here. For those that aren't completely familiar with the Senior Bowl, because I do think that we're a little bit more intimately involved with the game. I think the more casual football fan probably doesn't care about it all that much. But you essentially have two rosters of about 50 guys going up against each other. There's a South team. There's a North team.
But even within those teams, there's fierce competition, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in those lineman drills, even those wide receiver versus cornerback, defensive back drills. I mean, they're fighting for NFL attention.
Exactly, because this is billed as a college all-star game, and they do play a game on Saturday. It'll be on NFL Network. But this whole week is about the draft. Mm-hmm. It's about performing well on an individual basis in front of scouts, GMs, coaches, all those people that we talked about that are here.
I mean, Kyle Long went from fringe, limited experience player at Oregon to a first-round pick at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah,
I know there's been a lot of stories about certain players. Connor Cook this year, the Michigan State quarterback, who skipped these. A.J. McCarron, the Alabama quarterback, has skipped this game.
Yeah. And I think it was a mistake for both of those
guys.
I think Connor Cook, and we can get into this, Connor Cook would have been the second-best quarterback here behind Carson Wentz. And we'll talk about Wentz. He's having a really good week. But Cook, to me, would have been the Jimmy Garoppolo 2 years ago. Derek Carr was by far, I wouldn't say by far, but he was the best quarterback 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a great situation for him because he looked so good because the rest of their quarterbacks were bad. And the only other quarterback that could get anywhere near him was Jimmy Garoppolo, right. Mm-hmm. Who was unknown and coming out of Eastern Illinois, and Garoppolo was able to really improve his stock just by being the only guy that was even close to
hold his own, yeah.
And he ends up getting drafted by the Patriots. And I always felt like A.J. McCarron, and there's a little bit more into this like locally because he's from Mobile. The fact that he turned it down was a big deal down here. But I always felt like McCarron would have been closer to the Carr Garoppolos than the other guys that were there. One of them was David Fales, by the way, who's on the Bears now. And I felt the same way this year about Connor Cook. Connor Cook would have been, he wouldn't have been as good as Wentz, but he would have, all these other quarterbacks are really not all that impressive. And he would have been, I thought he would have helped his stock this week.
I mean, let's face it. That, it doesn't look good. I get the advice that some of these agents are giving these guys. You know, you don't want to hurt your draft stock. You know, you don't want to show all of your faults at this thing. But you know what? It's a fault. Not being here,
because it makes you look like you're hiding something.
Yeah. I mean, just to build on the Kyle Long point, to kind of get sidetracked, you saw Phil Emery today, the former Bears GM.
Yeah. He's got a beard.
Thick beard.
He looks
beard.
Good. He's got a new job.
Yeah, working for the Falcons. Yeah. Said hello. Was very friendly when I saw him. So he's down here scouting around, but he identified Kyle Long here. This is where the Kyle Long story began. So stories like that can happen. I mean, even the Jimmy Garoppolo story, you know, just how he became a second-round pick for the New England Patriots, you know, Tom Brady's team. The Senior Bowl is important to this whole evaluation draft process, and like you said, when guys skip it, it just doesn't look good.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about some of these guys that who are here and have looked good. But first, we got a chance to talk to Dan Vitale, the super back from Northwestern. And down here this week, he's a true fullback. That's how they're having not having to use him, but it's, I mean, in the NFL, this idea of a super back, it exists. I mean, that's a term Northwestern uses, which is sort of a hybrid fullback, tight end, also split out wide, wide receiver, which is Vitaly lined up all over the place in Northwestern's offense like that. But, you know, most schools would have just called him a tight end, yeah, probably. So, you know, Fitz has a super back term. It's good, but with his body size, just around 6 feet, he looks like a fullback. In the NFL, that's going to have to be his position. But some of the things he's able to do will probably help him, his ability to catch passes, run routes. He's done all that. But for this week, NFL teams really want to see if he can play the fullback spot. Can he pass protect? Can he pick up blitzes, put his hand in the ground, downhill block, all those things? So that's what we talked to him about. That's what we started off with. We had a nice conversation with Dan Vitale, and we asked him, how is this different this week as a true fullback compared to what he did at Northwestern?
Yeah, I mean, just the downhill blocks, I would definitely say, are more important. You know, honestly, probably being just a true fullback this week should help me out because I have all the game film on all the other stuff. But this downhill lead block and three-point stance stuff I haven't done really in, you know, Northwestern's offense. So being able to show them that I can do that successfully and I can learn quick, I think would be really important for me.
Dan, what's the mentality you need maybe to take on a linebacker one-on-one in the hole?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I actually got some work in with Bobby Christian, who used to, you know, play fullback in the NFL and at Northwestern. He was a tailback, and the first thing he told me was, "No and trust God." You know, so that's definitely it. And then it's just a game of chicken. You know, who's going to take a side first? That's the most important thing. So, just being a tough guy and being a man about it is the most important thing first. You know, just having that mindset is really what it takes. You know, I have the physical tools; just got to put them to use.
Coming down here the last 3 years, Gus Bradley's and that Jaguar staff's been working with the South team. One of the things I noticed right away on that first day is those blitz drills that they run at you. How did you think those went today, those one-on-one pickups?
Yeah, you know, I think that was definitely my strength for the day. I felt like I did really well in the blitz pickup. You know, actually we got some good work in that at Northwestern over the course of my career. So I felt pretty comfortable back there, you know, the entire time. And, I'm really happy. I think I did really well.
Now, a lot of teams in the league now don't carry your prototypical fullback nowadays. They got to do a lot of different things. You were a big pass catcher at Northwestern. How much are you looking forward to maybe showing off those skills down here in Mobile?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody likes to touch the ball. I think, I think it's safe to say that. So, you know, every opportunity I get out here, you know, I'm going to try to make the most of it. You know, obviously you want to touch the ball, but if I got a block all week, that's something, you know, I'm prepared to do. And I'm prepared to go 110%, you know, at that all week. So, you know, I'm just excited for the game and you know, these next couple practices to see what happens.
How quick has this transition gone for me the last few weeks, going from the bowl game to – all right, now you got to get ready for the NFL.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. You know, we finished our bowl game, got back. We had the weekend off, and then a bunch of us actually started training up in Chicago, you know, the following Monday. Was there for 3 weeks and then came straight here, you know, and it's back to football. It's like summer camp again, you know, install meetings, everything like that. So just trying to learn as quick as possible. The good thing is I wasn't away from football too long, you know, and my body was pretty much still in condition. So, you know, I'm pretty excited out here and just happy to be here. It's a blessing.
Yeah, what's it like for you, well, being here? I mean, the whole NFL world is here. They're all in the stands watching you at practice. You're meeting with them nonstop. What's this whole process been like?
Absolutely busy, you know, 100% of the time. You know, right when we got here, you know, I got here Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, you're in meetings like, you know, either with informal interviews or with Phil Savage, who's, you know, in charge of all this here. And, you know, people are pulling you to the side, you're grabbing you for a couple minutes here and there, but, you know, everything's kind of on a clock here, and they run it to a dime, you know, so you're always busy, you're always doing something. I don't want to say it's overwhelming, but, you know, it's definitely very, very challenging to try and manage your time, so, you know, but I'm enjoying every second of it.
All right, you go from Fitz for 4 years to Gus Bradley and that Jaguars coaching staff. How's it different?
It's very similar, actually. You know, I think Coach Fitz and Gus Bradley have similar mindsets. You know, this is a privilege for us to be here. It's an opportunity for us to show off our skills and you know, all of our assets here. So I would actually say they're very similar, you know, head coaches. And the energy, you know, they're both high energetic, you know, guys. And You know, it's exciting to have a coach who's similar to Coach Fitz and that I can relate to.
We got to ask you, you're a hometown kid. Have you crossed paths with the Bears yet?
You know, I met with one of their scouting guys the first day I was here. And I'm hopefully I get to meet with them tonight, you know, in the formal interviews and all that. So, you know, I'd like to believe that I'm on their radar. I hope so.
A couple of your teammates, Dean Lowry, had a good week at the East-West Shrine game last week. Nick Van Hoos was supposed to play in that game, but obviously had the injury before the bowl game. How excited are you to kind of go through this process with them? I'm sure you'll go through a pro day with them and all that. And how do you think it's all going to go?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's great to have those guys. You know, there's a couple other guys, Deontay Gibson, Miles Shuler, Zach Oliver, and Garrett Kidd, who are all training too. We're all training at the same facility, actually, up in Northbrook. And it's great because it gives us kind of some competition going on in the weight room. And, you know, we get to have some fun while we're doing it too. You know, we're doing it now for hopefully a future job, but we're able to have fun and, you know, work hard together. You know, I think Dean and Nick are some special players. I think Dean's going to have, you know, I think he's going to shock people with how high he goes in the draft. You know, after that Shrine game, you know, I heard his name come up throughout the week. And I wasn't really even, you know, closely paying attention to it. So that's always good when you're hearing his name a lot. So I'm pretty excited for him.
All right, so that's Dan Vitale. Great conversation with him. And all those Northwestern players he just mentioned there towards the end, they're all training at TC Boost in Northbrook, where Bobby Christian is helping them train, the former Northwestern fullback and Chicago Bears fullback. A little bit more success in the NFL, probably with the Panthers and Falcons, but local guy who is helping the NFL program at TC Boost, and good mentor for Dan Vitale to have, a fullback kind of going through the training, and you heard Dan mention some of those ideas with the fullback, the mentality. You asked him about the mentality needed to play that position. He called it a game of chicken, you know, having to man up and see who's going to blink first, all that. So, you know, I was sitting in the press box today during the South team practice. I was a wimp. I couldn't sit outside anymore, so I went inside where there was a little
bit of heat. It was cold. I mean, you talked to a lot of people around there, but okay, Mr. Pressbox.
Well, so I'm up there, and it's a little bit quieter in there because you're indoors, and there's some impressive.
They're hanging with Sean Payton and all. Okay,
a lot of GMs and important people up there. Let me just say, Dave Vitale's name was getting thrown around. Guys were going, who's number 40? Who's that guy from Northwestern? Oh, Vitale. I mean, he's impressing people down here, and from what he told us there in that interview, he is 100% committed this week to showing that he can block and put his hand in the ground and be a true fullback because he knows that his game tape is going to support all those other things, the being able to run routes and catch the football, be used in different ways, and I think he's, you know, there was one play today where he took on Reggie Ragland, that very impressive, likely first-round draft pick from Alabama who came in on a blitz. And, you know, he's turning some heads.
He's strong, and he's faster than I think some of the opponents, your Reggie Raglands of the world, are learning today or yesterday or this whole week, that he'll be on you before you think he could be on you. And, yes, there'll be game tape on that, but just as an athlete, I mean, he could do so many different things. You're right that the pass catching things are already on film, right? And that's what separates him from really any other fullback you're considering in this draft. Because I mean, let's face it, he's like a smaller tight end, right? He could do some of those things, but this downhill thing, and it does take a mentality, you know, to put your hand in the dirt, size up a linebacker who may have you by 10 to 15 pounds, and put a licking on him and clear him out. For a running back, the guy behind you, it takes a mindset. And, I mean, as a kid, you talk to people close to him. I mean, I talked to Pat Fitzgerald. I talked to Bob Hefner, his super backs coach at Northwestern. The kid has the mentality. Great kid, nice kid, you know, very personable. Yeah. But there's a meanness. There's a toughness, you know, that Chicago toughness that gets thrown around a lot. That cliche, you know, he kind of embodies all of those or that type of mindset. And he'll clean your clock. I mean, he will clean you out of that hole in a violent way if he gets a chance. And I think that speed, that first step that you see him as a receiver, plays a factor. I think he surprises some guys.
Yeah, and I honestly think that the NFL is going to allow him to do a little bit more of that, kind of the dirty work, than maybe even he did at Northwestern, because they really, especially this year, being so close to the program as I was, they didn't have a whole lot of pass catchers. I mean, the wide receivers were not very reliable, and Vitale really had to be the guy that...
He's a leading receiver, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had to be, and that's sort of my point. And he's, just with his size, not going to be able to do that, obviously, at the NFL level, but he can do these more gritty, you know, be in the backfield, pick up the blitzes. It's just... I don't know that he was able to feature that as much this season and throughout his career. So this is a good opportunity for him this week. He's getting noticed. He's going to get drafted. Now, it's still a fullback. So.
Yeah, I mean, people ask
it's a dying position in the NFL.
Yeah, but, I mean, Carolina has one, right? They use one.
Right, and well, there's not too many fullbacks, too, that can go out and run routes and catch the football, so that's going to help him, too.
Right.
But he's still looking at probably, you know, middle rounds.
I mean,
at
you look at the Bears situation. They use Zach Miller, a tight end, who... Maybe, I mean, Vitale's not as tall as Zach Miller, but he's as thick as him, maybe a little bit bulkier. But the Bears, you understand the Bears' interest, because if you look at this situation, they had a guy in the practice squad the entire year, a fullback. Paul, was it Lasicki?
Lasicki,
yeah. You know, who's more of a prototypical fullback.
The Australian guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was on the practice squad all year. He was just signed to a future reserves contract. I mean, I don't think he's leading blocks for Jeremy Langford next year, but you could see, you know, why a team like the Bears would at least make it a point to talk to a Dan Vitale.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of these other guys, too, because I know there's certainly guys that have caught your eye, caught my eye. Where do you want to start? I'm intrigued by some of these inside linebackers, because I think it's a huge position of need for the Bears, and I think there's a lot of good ones down here. You talk about Reggie Ragland, who's worked a lot as an outside linebacker.
Because he wants to prove himself as a pass rusher. Let's face it, that's where the money's at. But,
exactly.
I mean, some people see him as a better fit in the middle. But
which you can still get after the passer. I mean, in a 3-4, I think he's a guy who can play multiple positions. And he's going to be a first-round pick. Could be top 15. Could be right around where the Bears are picking at number 11.
Yeah, no, I talked to a guy who handles a lot of Alabama things, you know, players coming out of there, players in the league and stuff like that. Has a lot of Alabama connections, and he's, you know, being told that you're probably looking at if all goes well and he stays healthy, a 10 to 12 to 15 year player in the league. Yes, he may not be Luke Kuechly, all right? You know, he may not be, you know, your Patrick Willis, but he could be a pretty stout, reliable player, an impactful player on some downs. Certainly better than what many teams may have lurking in the middle of your defense.
Yeah. There's also the first guy that popped out to me yesterday at the first South practice from LSU, Deion Jones.
Yeah.
He's wearing number 0 out there, and he was going through some of the individual footwork drills, and whichever Jaguars coach it was, Jaguars are coaching the South team, was like, you should be playing safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because of his, it wasn't a knock, it was a compliment because of how quick and agile he was despite his good size as a linebacker. Now, to me, he looks like he could be really good if he gets drafted into a 4-3 defense as a will linebacker, you know, chasing down ball carriers. But he also looks like he's athletic and good enough there. He could play in either scheme that you could plug him in and make it work. So that was another guy who caught my eye.
I mean, Antonio Morrison, we have to mention him, right?
Yep.
He's a Bolingbrook kid. His parents are from the city of Chicago. His mother's from Cabrini Green. His father's from Englewood. Quite the story.
Yeah. He played at Florida.
Played at Florida. Very good player. Came back from a serious knee injury to be a pretty good player for a surprising Florida team this year. Reggie Ragland may have an edge on him right now, but he's probably looking as a, you know, a mid-round, third-round, fourth-round pick. A guy who, again, who could fill a need for a team who needs some help in the middle of a defense. A
couple other guys I like at inside linebacker that I've watched closely, not only this week, but throughout their college careers. Tyler Matakevich from Temple, who, if you watched any Temple, I mean, Temple had a good season. If you watched that Notre Dame game this year, he was all over the place. He is one of those smart players that
could run. I mean, he could take over the Shane McClellan role in terms of calling the defense. I think he should be a really good pro. Another guy is Joe Schobert out of Wisconsin, who was more of an outside linebacker.
He had a good play in pass coverage today.
Yeah, that's where he's really impressed me this week. That tells me he can play inside because he's a little bit undersized, I think, to be a true outside linebacker if you're going to put him in a 3-4. But I think he can be moved around because he was an outside linebacker at Wisconsin in a 3-4 and put up huge numbers. Sacks and TFLs last couple years, I think close to 33 TFLs the last two seasons. But he's been really impressive in pass coverage this week, too. So a lot of comparisons to Chris Borland there, I think, just because they're a couple white linebackers from Wisconsin.
With early retirement on the mind.
But similar situation in that they're both small, but
smart and tough.
Schobert's a little bit bigger, but they have the mentality and... You know, too many teams passed up on Borland and ended up being a really good player. Now, no one knew he was just going to up and retire. I don't think Joe Schobert's going to do that, but another guy to keep in mind at the inside.
I mean, we got to talk about the buzz of this whole Senior Bowl, right?
Yes.
It's got to be the quarterback, Carson Wentz. I talked to two people, you know, who evaluate the league, you know, on separate sides of the field. First guy goes, you know, he just looks like an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And at that time... He was directing traffic, you know, his backfield, getting everybody in order. See, look, he's not afraid to get everything in order with new teammates and stuff like that. So one league observer quickly complimented him on that. And then,
I want to compliment him on that, too, because I noticed that today specifically. It's not easy to get on a practice field in this setting in front of the entire NFL watching you in the stands with a bunch of players you've never played with.
Yeah.
And especially at the FCS level, where he's never even played against these guys.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really know anyone. He's out there. He's
out there with guys from Alabama.
He's directing traffic. Yeah. He's clearly taking charge. And he's impressive to talk to as well off the field. So he's a guy who I think is going to kill it in interviews, kill it in meetings with these teams. The intangibles on the field just scream, you know, team captain early in his career. The question is, can he play football? And that ability is very evident, too. He's the best quarterback out there.
And he's going high. First round, maybe, late. I mean, maybe earlier.
This will be interesting to watch. Because
I can't see the Bears taking him at 11, but too many other... It'd be hard to pass. You'd probably have a few teams calling if he's sitting there at 11.
Oh, yeah. He is going to be an interesting... Heck, he's getting coached by the Cowboys this week.
Yeah. Oh, that makes for a very interesting situation. But
they're picking fourth.
So you got Jared Goff, who's probably the number one quarterback, right?
I have him ranked higher.
Paxton Lynch, who's probably behind him.
I might have Wentz higher than Lynch.
Yeah.
I
would say Wentz is before. Like, yeah.
I have Wentz number two right now.
Right.
Yeah.
At 11, I think the Bears maybe draft a quarterback this year. I don't know if they should do it at 11. I just think they got too many.
But if you're going to do it, go and get your... The way I look at that
guy,
is
right?
You already have the backup.
I get that.
If you're going to really invest a draft pick in the quarterback, as much as you have other needs, if you're going to do it, I say do it at number 11.
Yeah.
But you
got to love him.
Absolutely.
He's a small school guy. I mean, look, you compare him to Joe Flacco situation, you know, who... You know, another big, tall, big arm quarterback, right? Wentz can be comparable to that. But I think the Ravens situation at that point is a little bit different than the Bears. I mean, you got Cutler. He's not overly old. He's coming off a very efficient season. You gave him his offensive coordinator that he wants. I think you've kind of sold yourself to Cutler. You know, or sold into Cutler. I don't know how you want to phrase it. But
Wentz, to me, no matter who, actually, even if it's Goff, I mean, not that he's going to fall or number 11,
yeah,
and the Bears are going to get him, but I am such a huge believer in letting these guys develop, no matter how good they are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, taking a guy like Wentz, who's coming from the FCS, he's making even a bigger jump than most of these guys are, just in how they're reading defenses, the players they're going up against on the other side of the ball, which does matter. You know, he could sit there behind Cutler for a couple of years. He didn't have to play.
You know,
right
and Cutler's not the enigmatic, you know, problem that he was a few years. I mean, this is a guy who could probably handle the situation, but I mean, he'll tell you, like he told me, that he would, sitting at 11, he'd be okay. He'd understand it if they took a Carson Wentz or Jared Goff. But he'd also like to see another, I don't know, maybe another pass rusher to help out the defense.
Absolutely.
Or another a safety or someone to help out their current situation, because Jay Cutler knows he's not playing forever. He'd like to win in the next 2 or 3 years.
The interesting thing with Cutler, he doesn't show any signs of being close to the end of his career, really.
No, no.
But that also can happen quickly. The issue there is actually the contract, because it gets more expensive towards the end of it, too. I mean, he's within the Bears' control.
Yeah.
But
the guarantees are coming up. I mean, they're...
I mean, the contract really inflates the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So...
We're on what, year...
That's what I'm saying.
Year three of it? The cap hit this year is quite a four.
This year it's fine.
Yeah.
This year it's fine. I think even next year it's okay. It's year five, six, seven, where it's... I just cannot see, no matter how well he's playing, that he's going to be worth that kind of money. And that's where the Bears might be looking ahead here and going, we better have a plan B, just in case, from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're taking a guy at number 11, you're probably hoping that he's better than Cutler in the long run.
Well, you're just hoping you're your absolute franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Taking him at 11.
Yeah. Another big name down here this week I want to get in is Braxton Miller, the well-known Ohio State star who played quarterback, then kind of lost his job because he got hurt, and they had plenty of other quarterbacks there.
Yeah.
He has looked very good at wide receiver this week. To me, what surprised me is how natural he looks. Running routes, catching foot. I think he
saw some of that during the season, though.
At times, but, I mean, for him to be in this setting, compared to the other wide receivers that have been playing that position for a long time, the technique against some of these corners, and these are good corners, these are the best corners, best senior corners that are out there. He's winning battles. He's running crisp routes. He's catching everything. I've been really impressed with him.
I did hear one criticism. It's him getting him off tight coverage. Man coverage, press coverage, a jam right in your face, that physical.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to get that in the league. He's getting it here. And one observer noted it right away when I was sitting next to him. He goes, look, that could be a problem. But he is so, I don't know if raw is the right word, because, like you said, he looks impressive at times. But with time, he can improve in those situations. He can get off the bump and run. You know, he can create space for himself. He does look the part. He could probably be a pretty good punt returner if he learns how to track the ball a bit better. You know, it's the talent is there. You know, it was such a smart move for him to get away from quarterback, because that wasn't going to work out for him. But you look,
at least not at the NFL.
I mean, you don't want to look at other successful transitions in the league. You know, Julian Edelman is probably one of the most recent. You know, what he started at Kent State, and now he's like this ultimate slot receiver who beats everybody with his quickness.
Yeah.
Now, Braxton Miller may be a super form of that, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, he's the speed, the quickness, the athleticism, it's all there. You brought up the return game. He did some of that today, which I'm like, wow, I like that idea, because he has the ability to do that, despite the lack of experience doing it. So they can get him involved at the NFL level doing those things. He's definitely an athlete. You know, he's one of those guys that you just pick him and you figure out where to play him.
Right, right.
And he's going
to... Teams do that. They see a player, they see the potential, and they try to mold him into something. That could be detrimental, but I think receivers
are
good
plays. After what I've seen the last 2 days, I'll be surprised if he gets out of the second round.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think he's going to go... I don't... Without being able to know exactly, you know, what he can do great for you, I don't think he goes in the first. But you never know. All it takes is one team. I think there's going to be a team, though, in the second round that says, all right, we got to get this guy. He's going to be good with the ball in his hands. We just got to figure out how to get it to him.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's a situation, really.
Yeah.
It's all what it is.
Anyone else you want to...
I mean, quickly, I mean, if we're talking about... you know, the Bears and the defensive needs. There's a few defensive players that I think that, well, I mean, obviously teams meet with everybody down here. Let's be honest. But, you know, Alabama defensive lineman Jerron Reed, maybe a big five technique.
Five tech.
I mean, strong.
Struggle a little today, I thought. But.
Sheldon Day, Notre Dame's defensive lineman. I thought he was very impressive today. I mean, talk about flash plays. He was in that backfield all the time. Got to talk about Noah Spence. I mean, the former Ohio State, you know, where is Eastern Kentucky?
Five-star recruit.
Yeah, I mean, just.
Kept failing drug tests, so he got kicked out of the Big Ten.
Yeah, I jumped in the scrum around him today, you know, and he's. Of course, he's talking about putting all that stuff behind them. It's going to be a big question in all his interviews. I'm sure I'd hope for his case that he's giving better answers than he gave us, the media.
Yeah.
More detail because teams aren't going to accept what he gave to us. But he looks electric. He's going to be a difference maker.
He's a top 10 pick if he doesn't have all that baggage.
Absolutely.
And so it'll be interesting to watch him. And he also has to stay out of trouble. Because there's always those guys that end up getting dinged for things at the combine and failing drug tests then and all that. So he's got to stay clean. He's got
diluted urine samples is a common one.
So you remember Randy Gregory last year? You know, that's a guy who could have been a top five pick.
Even like Christian Jones, a guy who went from maybe a mid round, late round selection out of the draft and eventually became an undrafted signee by the Bears, but diluted urine samples.
Yeah. Couple guys I noted too, Sheldon Rankins from Louisville, just absolutely made Graham Glasgow, the Michigan offensive lineman, who's really
from the Chicago suburbs.
Yeah, really, he's from Aurora, right? Glasgow's really a center. They tried to play him at guard today. He was lined up at right guard and back to back snaps. Rankins beat him outside, then he beat him inside, and it was silly. But he looks like a first-round talent to me. Somebody that maybe you can play at the 5-tech. I think he's scheme versatile, can play 3-4, 4-3. And also, if we want to look on the offensive side, you know, Bears need an extra lineman. They need a guard. You know, they need somebody who I think they need somebody who can play right guard.
Yeah.
Really. Cody Whitehair from Kansas State is probably a first-round pick. And I don't know the Bears are going to draft a guard at number 11.
No, it's an underrated need.
It is.
Of theirs. That can't be. I mean, that.
A guard at number 11. That's
no, I mean, not
pretty
at 11,
early.
But in terms of.
But
the
if he falls
draft,
into the second round, which I don't know if that's going to happen, but if he's available there early in the second round, that's definitely got to keep an eye on.
I mean, the Patriots don't have a pick. We got to remember this.
Yeah.
So the Bears are bumped up one in the second round. That's significant.
Mm-hmm. It is. And safety, I've talked about before. Jeremy Cash from Duke. Love this guy. All over the tape.
He's a player.
Saw him in person this year when Northwestern played Duke. He's versatile. They used him as like a hybrid linebacker, safety. He told me yesterday he wants to show that he can be a center fielder. I don't think that's really his best attribute doing that. I think he can kind of move around. But he's a good player.
And you know who loves thumpers? Vic Fangio at Ed Donatel.
Yeah. And he'd be perfect in a 3-4. So that's somebody to keep an eye on, too. That's it?
Let's do it.
I think we covered it. Plenty to discuss with the Senior Bowl fun beat in here, as always. We'll be back probably
at the
NFL Combine. We'll probably record our next episode down there as we kind of space
these
out.
Should be even better. I mean, we should mention Fox and Pace will talk down there. So.
Yeah, I know. We're not allowed to talk to them here.
No. So it'll be a little bit different. What does the Fox say?
Yes, apologize. We could not give you one of those because we're not allowed to talk to him down here.
What does the Fox say? That would be nothing in Mobile.
At least certainly not in a setting where can record the audio for you and bring it back. But thanks for listening. Episode 23 of Intentional Grounding here in Mobile, Alabama. We'll get back up to Chicago, keep the offseason rolling, and then we'll talk to you in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and find us on iTunes if you haven't already by searching Intentional Grounding. Thanks to our producer, Mike Jacobson. Adam, safe trip home.
Stay warm tomorrow.
Talk to you guys all next month.